following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Geico says, let's make life simpler.
You need to buy something, but you don't want to make a mistake. So what do you do? Scour the web? Collect sales circulars? Ask your brother-in-law? How about this? When it comes to car insurance, Geico has a 97% customer satisfaction rating. I repeat, 97%. So make it simple. Just ask a friend who has Geico. Then click or call. You could make it 98%.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
To win the Capital One Cup and be the best in men's and women's college sports, you've got to lay it all on the line. Every play, every game, in every sport. Teams are battling it out for NCAA Division I championships, $400,000 in student-athlete scholarships, and the Capital One Cup trophy. Check the standings on CapitalOneCup.com to follow your school in the race to become the best in college sports and earn bragging rights all year long.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sippel, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Dologniev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who will be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. It's Tuesday. That means Damon Day is in as our co-host. He's been popping around lately. He slid in Friday, and we were talking with him and Jabba Chamberlain about the baseball bank, and we'll talk about that, recap it a little bit on the show today as well. Also coming up, we're going to talk to Robin Washit of Husker Online. Nebraska has picked up quite a few new football commits, a little something different last night with a kicker that's actually going to grad school at Nebraska. He's only going to get 1 year, but we'll talk with him about that. Plus, the basketball team plays Illinois tonight. We'll talk about that. Siobhan Shields, don't forget, son of Will Shields, and freshman of the week in the Big Ten. Plus, Ryan Rathke, boys basketball coach at Grand Island Northwest, as their conference. They're the top seed in the Central Conference tournament, men and women, boys and girls. And it started with play-in games last night, and they will play tonight against Holdridge. But, Damon, I don't know. Have you heard?
Heard what?
Somebody at the beginning of the year picked the exact two teams that were going to the Super Bowl. I don't know. Has anybody heard that? I don't know. If you haven't heard it, we'll try that again. We'll play it for you later, but just saying.
I think that's well done. My picks did not make it, and we've been waiting a long time for my pick of the Cleveland Browns to make it.
But, hey, you had Notre Dame in the national championship.
I did have Notre Dame in the national championship, but so, you know, beggars, you know, we can't always get what we want, but I honestly think that I do not believe that me nor my son will ever see the Cleveland Browns play in a Super Bowl. My father told me that back in 86 after the drive. My father turns to me and says, son, it's just not meant to be. Neither one of us will ever see the Browns in a Super Bowl.
Browns, Cubs.
Ooh.
The answer there is always the opposite of the Cubs.
Yeah. I'm going to say that the Cubs do something before the Browns do.
I heard a Cub fan tell me this over the weekend. Theo Epstein says we're going to the playoffs this year. What the hell has he done? We don't have nobody. We got nothing.
Yeah, they really haven't made – I mean, I'm sure they have made a lot of moves. The Cubs have made a lot of moves to dump a lot of bad salary and try to start from scratch, you know, type of thing. But they have not made many splashes yet. And you know, he was supposed to save the world, but we'll see.
So bad. Mark says, what's the old saying? Every blind pig eventually finds the acorn.
Thanks, Mark.
That's inappropriate. Mark, come on.
True.
True, but.
True, but inappropriate. No, no, no. Wouldn't be the first time.
Is this your first time ever picking it?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. That's what I said Monday. I said, you know what? I am going to brag this up because I very rarely pat myself on the back because no one else will do it. But seriously, NBA, I mean, any sport, any of these long seasons, I mean, yeah, going to the playoffs, it's even hard to do it when you get to the playoffs, let alone at the beginning of the year in any sport, national championship, basketball, football, the Super Bowl, Major League, the World Series.
What's the hardest sport to pick?
Oh, well, for me, it'd be like hockey because I don't know anything
about
it.
Well, I mean, but for okay, we'll say non-niche.
College basketball is the easiest because the odds really are. When's the last time some – I mean, yes, Butler got in, but they never won it. When's the last time – pull up the last few national champs, Jeff. When's the last time a nobody won the national championship?
So you're saying the tournament of 64 isn't the hardest. It's just the hardest. It's just the if you kind of stay with your number ones or twos, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
You may not get the points – because there would be a weird thing, but for the most part, those teams. I would agree with that. I would agree that most of the time in the hoops thing, three out of the four, two out of the four, you know, usually that was one or two seeds usually get in, maybe a three. You can, but you usually see those coming. Oh, wow, so-and-so's only a three. Wow, you know, you really love those. But it's kind of the back half games, the upsets, but still, yeah, I would agree with that, that the basketball is not as difficult as you might think.
Somewhere in the nation, Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, Big East, fill in the blank, ACC team, you know, whoever, they're going to be there. One of them is going to be there. So the odds of picking that, I think, are a little bit easier. The Super Bowl, there's just so many injuries. It's so weird.
Parity.
I mean, a lot of people hung on New England, Green Bay, the safe picks. They didn't either one get there. They're deep in the playoffs, but neither one got there.
Yeah, Super Bowl would be tough.
The NBA, probably not that tough.
No.
You come down to two or three teams in the East and the West. Even when you have a new team like Oklahoma City make their run last year, they still didn't get to the finals. I think it was pretty safe to take the Heat against, I'm sure a lot of people said Lakers, Oklahoma City, whoever you want. I mean,
San Antonio.
Yeah.
You know, how about
somebody can pick
San Antonio is the most disrespected great teams always. I mean, they're always in there somewhere, but no one ever picks them. I think baseball isn't so hard to pick as much as it is to follow. It's hard to follow a baseball season.
It's long.
It is very long.
So long.
Very long and so long. But I think baseball, you know, you always have your typical teams that you're going to pick at the top of their divisions. Rarely do you get a Washington National team that comes out of basically being picked third or fourth to go all the way. So there's some interesting. I mean, I didn't know NASCAR's tough to pick. You're one crash away.
No, it's not. I mean, I know guys that are in NASCAR fantasy, you know, that's fantasy NASCAR, and get really psychotic
about
it.
That was one of the funnest fantasy leagues I've ever done.
So you take, well, the beauty of fantasy NASCAR, and this is just like anything else, the guys that think they know NASCAR, they don't win. Their friends who just casually watch it, they're the ones that win the points. I mean, but how hard is it? Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon. I mean, Earnhardt never hardly ever wins. So, I mean, you know, Keselowski.
My wife was in a fantasy league for NASCAR and ended up second based upon colors, who the
I think
cute drivers
of her life
were.
Has been a fantasy, apparently.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, she. What were you, sixth round pick?
Me?
Yeah, fantasy Damon.
No.
By the way, has she got out of bed yet? I mean, she should have taken like a 5-day siesta after the banquet.
Oh, yeah. Sunday was tough. Sunday we were both just done. I mean, exactly, just exhausted.
Good thing that football game didn't kick off till 5:30.
You know, the problem that I ran into and is I was agitated all day. Like it was, just, I was just nervous. So when I'm nervous, I tend to drink a lot of Diet Coke. And I mean, when we talk about lots of Diet Coke, I probably went through a case of Diet Coke. And you know, who was someone's like, you know, what's he got in that Diet Coke? No, I'm always, I always talk that fast or, you know, kind of type of thing. But so Saturday night when it was all kind of over with, it was like a big deep breath. And then you're like, okay, I drank too much Diet Coke. I can't sleep. I'm just staring at the TV.
You know, adrenaline.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was such an amazing, amazing event. And like you said, I don't know how my wife got all the energy of getting it finished. But it's done and over with, and it was absolutely, absolutely amazing, amazing, humbling event.
Now, I throw this out because Tim Shady was in yesterday, and they're doing the Dine Out to help out United Way tonight. Reminder of that at Cunningham's. Go see Big Daddy. Brett Maher is going to be there signing autographs, and then a variety of folks from the community will be there at Cunningham's from 5:30 to 8. You think about the gold banquet for Kearney Catholic, what they do at Kearney High with their banquet, Hastings Saints, a lot of the – and I'm thinking yours, the turnout, was about – what did you have a number? I was guessing 350.
I heard four.
Okay. Take away the baseball kids.
So you're at 350.
So that's at least half of some of these large banquets that we've been to. And they have, you look at their program, there's like 100 people working on this. The UNK baseball banquet, there's like 10. And that's probably a little over the top. But and they're still doing the same things with all the items. So yeah, great job. And
our awesome. Committee was our committee.
Were you pleased? Everything was good. Everything,
man,
was
top
smooth.
Of the world.
Joppa, I mean, was awesome.
Yeah, you know, it was good to visit with him, and it was awesome to make that announcement about the indoor facility that we're just so honored to have his name on. And so, you know, our committee did a phenomenal job. My wife did a phenomenal job. Our, you know, we brought in a new auctioneer this year, Adam Marshall, who was awesome. You know, just gave me a lot of tips on how to do some things, and you know, Joppa being involved in his own. You know, fundraising entities with the Dream 62 gave us a lot of great ideas as well as just great stuff. And if you were there, he wasn't shy to bid on some things, and that helps, you know. And so I did a bunch of media kind of yesterday, people calling and wanting to know numbers. And I honestly, I don't have official numbers. I know that we made a significant amount of money, and in time we will get that once all the parties have been paid. And
it was less than $1 million.
It was less than $1 million, but for our humble organization and for the baseball program, and not only the baseball program, but Memorial Field, we're going to be able to do some really nice things moving forward up at Memorial Field because of everybody's generosity on Friday night. And it was just such an amazing, amazing event. And I know we're looking forward to it next year. And Joppa reassured me he's going to bring one of his teammates with him next year. So just try to keep, like he said, you know, he's proud of being a part of this event and wants to keep getting it bigger and better. And so I said, so what do I got to do for Jeter? And he's like, it won't be that teammate.
He's an ass. I don't like him.
No, he just said that.
Well, he mentioned a couple of his buddies.
Yeah. So he said he's going to bring somebody back. And I was like, hey, you know, even if it was just one of his Husker teammates that he played with, or, you know, even if he got Coach Erstad to come down I-80 would be a great event. And I think that anything that we can continue to do to promote baseball in the city and just get young. I mean, that was what was cool. I thought the coolest part of the banquet was there's little leaguers there, whether they were on that team or not on that team. There was just a lot of dads who brought their sons. And so I think it really transcends the entire community of Kearney and what we're trying to accomplish baseball wise, and hopefully it can be a starting point or a jumping off point for even bigger and better things. You know, helping us start to upgrade some little league facilities, maybe, or start to do some things that way. So, anything that we can do from a baseball community, and I think it's really tied into. Someone asked me at the banquet, you know, why is there such a tie-in with Kearney? And I said, well, if you haven't looked at our roster, Coach Archer basically is supplying anywhere between 5 to 8 guys per year on our roster. If you look at the years we've had the most success, we've always had a handful of Kearney guys, not just being on the team, but playing prominent roles. And so it's only doing us, it's only helping me as the head coach to continue to make things great, because Kearney is very, very strong here in baseball. The Kearney community is very strong in baseball, and it's something that we want to help grow upon it and continue to inspire kids to be great.
Damon Day, UNK baseball coach, with us every Tuesday as the co-host on the Doug and Daddy Show. Glad to have you along with us. Robin Washett from Husker Online, Northwest boys basketball coach Ryan Rathke going to join us. You touched on it. Give the official spiel here of the indoor facility in Joppa and what all went on there for the folks that weren't there on Saturday.
Obviously, Jabba has been very, very gracious to the University of Nebraska Kearney baseball program, not only through some financial contributions, but a lot of times just for donating things here or positive words here or things like that. And so we sat down with our foundation, Lucas, or myself and Mr. McBride, and we came up with an idea. We went and proposed it to Jabba, and Jabba decided that it was something that he was really believed in and was very, very passionate about. And so we put some financial figures together and did some things. And so probably here within the next week or two, you'll start to see some signage go up. But now the indoor facility down the left field line at Memorial Field will now be the Jabba Chamberlain Kearney Community Indoor Baseball Facility. And that's strictly named in honor of him and what he has done for not only our program, but for that facility and helping us continue to move forward and do some great things. And so we're just honored to put his name on it. And I feel like, and speaking with him, he was very, very honored himself that we gave him his jersey. If any of you weren't there, we presented him with his 44 jersey that he wore at UNK. And then actually his away jersey will be presented to his father this weekend. His father couldn't make it last weekend.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to present. We were going to auction it off and do that whole thing.
Was interest, by the way, in the room. I was under that impression.
Yes.
You know, we had talked about it.
Yes, and that was the committee's, and that was kind of my wife's and everybody's idea. And then I don't know why, I just felt like, actually I saw my dad and kind of was talking with my dad that afternoon, and I was like, you know, we're not going to auction it off. And everybody was stunned. But to me, his dad has had such an impact on his life that I thought that jersey belonged to his dad. And so
that's it? There was only two?
There's only two. That's what made him so, you know, and I love everybody's like, oh, we could have gotten a lot. I'm like, hey, don't worry. We got a lot. So
we did okay.
He's doing okay. So, but I thought that was important for us to give that back to him and his father. And I mean, for us from a recruiting standpoint, I mean, how cool is it to walk in and every high school kid that comes onto that field is going to look over down the left field line and be like, oh my goodness, that facility is named after Jabba Chamberlain. And, you know, and so that's awesome from a recruiting standpoint. That's awesome from a motivational standpoint. Every little kid that drives by from elementary school, from middle school, on their way down that road is going to look up and say, hey, maybe someday my name can be on a facility like that. And so I think in where everybody's in society today is so, I don't even know the word, you hate to get on a tangent or a rant or a soapbox.
No.
But you know what? It's just awesome to see that we can continue to inspire young people to be great, because I always like to say 90% of young people are phenomenal. They're trying just to get better, and they're trying to have dreams and whatnot. We always talk about the 10% who get DUIs or destroy baseball fields or do other types of things, but for the most part, we have to take care of the young, and that's what, you know, his message is with his foundation, and I think that's what made it such a tie-in with what we're trying to accomplish.
We need to go to break, but you, since you touched on it, you want to tell the folks what the field is going to be, what the situation is for the upcoming season, because you've told me a little bit that it's just a process of getting it fixed up, and it's not the grass isn't going to grow in January. So
yeah, the you know, I think what's great about the Kearney community is, again, when something happens, people rally and people support each other. And I just want to thank everybody for their emails or their pats on the back to not only myself but the players and everybody involved. I mean, when Memorial Field was vandalized, I think it was a punch in the gut to everybody. And I think it hurt a lot of people, because Memorial Field, you saw it during the banquet, Memorial Field is Kearney's field. And so, you know what, we got it playable. We're excited to have it playable, and I'm sure in the future we're going to try to do some things to completely fix it once all the processes are ironed out. But we're moving forward in the city. Mike Morgan, Ken Roth, Scott Hayden, and their staff have done a phenomenal job. Dave Foster, along with the help of the Legion and UNK, of, you know what, it's playable. And that's what we needed it to be. It's playable, and it's going to get fixed in a timely manner once we can get all that taken care of. So, you know what? We persevere, we overcome, and it's going to end up, you know, I think it's a positive from what we learned about community support.
Well, they always do it here. And we've got more emails to get to. Robin Washit, when we're around the corner here from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Doug and Daddy's show. We'll be back right after this.
When it comes to Husker game day, my buddies and I head down to Cunningham's Journal, the best place to watch all your favorite sports. Have a great bite to eat, drink the coldest draft beer in town, and most importantly, watch the Husker game on the huge 10-foot projector screen. This year, every time you come for the game, you can register to win a 70-inch HD TV from Russell's Appliance and a Coors Light Super Bowl party from Cunningham's. If you win, could I come? Anyways, escape ordinary and head to Cunningham's Journal on game day, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
Hey, big guy, what's with the penalty flags?
I'm getting ready for the biggest Sunday of the football year, and this year I'm not tolerating the kind of behavior that went on around the food spread last year.
What are you talking about?
Well, for example, last year, first quarter, Berman fishes a juicy Johnsonville brat out of the brat hot tub without using the tongs or fork or anything, and I just let it go. This year, that's illegal use of the hands, resulting in a 10-minute food penalty.
Oh, that'll hurt.
Remember when Stu cut in front of me going for the classic Johnsonville Italian sausage meatballs?
Of course. You threatened to, quote, pull him up to Wedgieville. To be fair, Mike, it was your fourth trip through the buffet.
Doesn't matter. This year, that's encroachment, 5 minutes, and loss of seat.
Wow. I also recall you having quite a reaction to my taking the last Johnsonville better with cheddar right around the 2-minute warning last year.
I don't think I've forgotten, Greeny. Try that this year, and it'll result in ejection, possible fine, and indefinite suspension.
All right, that's understood.
Take your game day party from good to great with the full, juicy flavor of Johnsonville sausage, made with only premium cuts of pork since 1945. Find recipes at Johnsonville.com. Johnsonville sausage.
Are you a man? Mancore. Mancore is the brand new cutting-edge formula for all men, found only at Complete Nutrition. Do you want to shrink your gut and lean up to help eliminate those love handles? What if you regain the sex drive you had in your 20s? Ignite your energy and stamina and feel younger than ever. Be the man you used to be. With Mancore's cutting-edge formula, you can lose the gut, ignite energy, and skyrocket your sex drive. Mancore is the tool every guy needs to regain that edge. Mancore. Get to Complete Nutrition today and go from just being a man to being the man with Mancore.
Please note, if you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, talk to your consultant about adjusting your plan.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Today on Compass Media Network's coverage of NCAA basketball, a new chapter is written in a bitter Big Ten rivalry as Wisconsin battles 18th-ranked Michigan State in Madison. Hi, I'm Drew Bonadelli. Join Rick Mahorn and me for all the action as Keith Appling and the Spartans travel to the hostile Kohl Center to square off against Jared Berggren and the Badgers. Wisconsin, number 18, Michigan State. If it's NCAA basketball, it's right here.
Tuesday night at 6 on ESPN Radio.
Partly cloudy to mostly sunny skies will develop across the area today as we head up to 28 for a high. Southeast winds will stay at 5 to 15. Tonight with a clear sky, we'll head back to 12 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 18.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Doug Duda, David Day with you on this Tuesday. Coming up in the second half of the program, we'll talk with Northwest basketball coach Ryan Rathke, one of the top five teams in Class B as they get ready for conference tournaments. Oh, man. Speaking of Northwest, we have just received the rosters for the Coaches Association All-Star Volleyball and Softball teams. Basketball is announced after the season. But Diane Rose of Northwest is going to coach the blue team. Brad Nelson of Axtell going to coach the red team. Also, Lisa Mason of Bertrand and Darcy White of Exeter Milligan are assistant coaches. Kids that will play in that game, just scanning it right now. Bailey Sokolowski from Kearney Catholic. Morgan Westfall from Northwest. Nikki Carson from Ord, Katie Higgins from Kearney High, and Michaela Mestel from Kearney Catholic. She'll be on the other team. Those two stars will be opposite each other. And in softball, I'm scanning here to see if anybody from the area, Grand Island's Callie Rother, is going to be playing in that game. So there you go. John says, okay, Doug, you pick the teams that are in the Super Bowl. Congrats. But we're going to have to grease your ears to get your head in and out of the work doors. And besides, you pick the Cowboys as your team to win all the time. As Billy Callahan would say, wow. Have you heard this morning Bill Callahan threw the 2003 Super Bowl?
I didn't think that he threw it. It just said that he basically made a boneheaded coaching move. sabotages. I like the best word, sabotage.
I can't even say that that started what Nebraska fans having all kinds of fun with this. Robin Walsh, it was 12 when that Super Bowl was played, and he joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Morning, Robin. How's it going?
Good. Well, yeah, I think I was just getting out of grade school or something when that game was going on.
I know the Big Daddy was very happy with the result of that game. That's all I can say. All the talk shows are going to have fun with that all day long, aren't they? I mean, good Lord. I can't believe that that's possible. Romanowski was on Cowherd about an hour ago saying, you know, I love my teammate, Tim Brown, and I'm not here to throw anybody under the bus, but in this instance, I can't believe that that came out of his mouth. And he's saying, why would anyone mess up a chance to secure their own legacy? And I think we know Billy C had a little bit of an ego. Is there going to be anything to this, you think, Robin?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that it's really hard to kind of fathom that, you know, an NFL coach would do that with, you know, all at stake. You know, no matter what reasons he would have had to do that, I can't imagine they'd be any bigger than, you know, winning a Super Bowl and all the perks to go along with that. I think maybe some poor coaching decisions may be translated as trying to sabotage. So, you know, Nebraska fans would probably relate to that a little bit. But, you know, I highly doubt that, you know, there really is going to be anything to come of this. I think it was just a guy trying to become a media personality, trying to make some controversial comments and get his name out there. So, yeah, I don't know. It's another weird story and what's been a weird month of sports so far.
Sabotage is what he did. Let's get to the current Husker football team. A couple of commits, one recommitting, I guess, over the weekend. And then here in the last 24 hours, Pat Smith comes to the Nebraska football team. I'll be honest, Robin, I had no problem because we knew Brett Maher was going to be good, and I'm glad that it panned out for Brett after Alex Henry. But I think that is a glaring hole to fill is in the kicking game next year. I had never really heard anything that spectacular about Bondi. It sounds like maybe we will have a kicker and a punter instead of Brett Maher and Alex Henry doing both. What do we know about this Pat Smith? Is this a great kid or is this just another kid that can kick?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously he's a type of kid that's going to come in here and have to compete for the job, but, you know, a guy in his position isn't going to come someplace where, you know, he doesn't have a pretty good feeling about his chances of winning it. So I think he's definitely coming in here with the intention of being the starting kicker next season. And, you know, like you said, the Nebraska fans have been kind of spoiled over the years with the dearth of talent that they have, you know, with Alex Henry and Brett Maher and the fact that those guys were both able to handle both spots. And so, yeah, I could definitely see, them splitting up the duties there. And you know what, funny is Bondi might actually end up getting lost in the shuffle in all this because a lot of things that I'm hearing is that Sam Foltz, the kid out of Grand Island, has really been making an impression as a punter. And so he could be a guy that could compete for a starting job right away next year as a redshirt freshman. So definitely a name to keep an eye on there. And so, yeah, the pressure is definitely on a guy like Bondi to come in because, you know, this Patrick Smith guy, he was a, you know, finalist for the FCS Kicker of the Year Award last year. He was named the co-MVP of his team. You know, he's connected from 62 yards out in practice. His high in a game is 55, so he's got cannon for a leg. And he's a guy that has a lot of confidence to him. So it'd definitely be a huge addition if he can come in and be the guy that, you know, the coaching staff's hoping he can be and kind of keep that kicking tradition going at Nebraska.
Damon Day here, and obviously with all the commitments coming and you kind of hear about how so-and-so decommitted and now he's recommitting, how much nowadays, once you kind of get a verbal commit, do they still have to keep the full court press on those commits to get them to see them all the way through to the finish line?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because, you know, opposing coaches aren't just going to back off a kid just because he gives a verbal commit, you know, until the signature's on the paper. It's free game. You know, some coaches are, you know, a little hesitant to do that than others. But, you know, the fact is that when you're at this level of recruiting, you know, you can't just back off a guy just because he tells you he's going to go to your school. You know, with the amount of mind-changing kids have and, you know, the different offers that come up, you know, after a kid signs, they may not have had an offer from school they were waiting on, and then they get one, and that changes the whole dynamic of things. So, you know, you definitely have to stay fully invested in kids until you get to sign that letter of intent. So Dixon's a perfect example of that. You know, Nebraska lost him. They had him and they lost him. And, you know, they were able to continue to try and build the relationship. And, you know, in the end, they were able to get him back. And so, you know, it just shows that, like you said, it's got to be a full court press from start to finish.
Talking with Robin Walsh here from Husker Online. I'll tell you what, I saw 15. Is that where Nebraska's at right now, Robin? And that's always going to make more diehard Husker fans that follow this recruiting happy. Is 15 the final spot?
Yeah, I mean, I could see, probably see it, getting even more. I don't know if they're quite done just yet, but definitely compared to where things were, a month ago or so, and there was a lot of panic going on, where and that they were even be able to put together a full class and suit up a team next year. They've got things going in the right direction now, and have actually added some pretty decent talent. So it's looking a lot better than it was. And so, yeah, they're at 15 now, and I wouldn't be surprised if a couple more get added along the way.
Also, you guys have put up on your site the walk-on commitments, and of course, most of those come from the state of Nebraska. And last year, I know the folks here at UNK were disappointed because they thought about three of them decided to leave. They were going to come to UNK, or they were going to go to a different college in the state, and they ended up, like an Andy Janovich, going to the University of Nebraska. There looks to be a couple of kids on here that are pretty darn good, and that includes this wide receiver out of Papio and Spencer Lewis. What's the highlight of these walk-ons, according to you guys?
Well, I think that's probably a better question for Sean, just because he's a lot more tied into kind of the in-state recruiting aspect of this. But, like you said, these walk-ons can be extremely valuable pieces to your program. And, you mentioned Andy Janovich is a perfect example of that. And, like I said, I mentioned Sam Folt, a guy that's a walk-on that, comes in, could be your starting punter for the next 4 years. So I think that, they're at, 1, 2, 3, 4, but they're at 12 walk-ons right now. Is that right?
1, 2, 3. Yeah, close to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so they got a good number already, and that just kind of shows you that that's a luxury that not a lot of programs get. That you get kids that could go elsewhere and get full scholarships at smaller schools, but they want to come to Nebraska and come in and live out their dream of being a Husker. And so you get these kids that have the ability. They just kind of might be under the radar a little bit. And so hopefully in this group of kids they have, you mentioned Spencer Lewis. And I'm sure there's a couple other kids that could come in and kind of be one of those kids that show up and end up making an impact down the road. So, you can never go wrong with kids that want to come out and play for free.
Back here in Kearney, obviously the news of Bronson Marsh transferring to UNK has been a huge story. It's breathed fresh air and some excitement into the UNK football program. From the Husker standpoint, was it a big deal losing an athlete from Millard South? Was it a big deal losing him as a quarterback prospect type of thing? How did they handle the transfer?
Yeah, I think that it was kind of a thing where Bo fully understood why Bronson wanted to go and go somewhere where he can play, and because he was the scout team quarterback, and so he was getting a lot of reps in practice. But at the same time, you got Tommy Armstrong and Johnny Stanton coming in, and so I think that his chances of actually seeing the field in the game was probably pretty slim if he wanted to stay a quarterback. And so it was a perfectly mutually accepted decision on his part, and I know Coach Shipley wished him the best on his way out, because Bronson did a lot for the team last year, running that scout team, and that athleticism that he had gave him a lot of looks in practice for some of the more dual threat quarterbacks they saw. And so, I think it's probably a best case situation for Bronson. He's going to go out and he's probably going to be a stud out there. So, I know that as far as Nebraska is concerned, you always hate to see guys leave. But in the end, it was the best decision for Bronson.
Well, let's put it on the line for the folks here in the Tri-Cities that have been, debating this question since the day any of these kids decided to go to Lincoln. You've got three Nebraska Gatorade Players of the Year in Bronson Marsh, Tyson Brockmeyer, Riker Fife. Robin, do you think, and they're all quarterbacks, and now Bronson's gone, do you think the other two will ever take a significant snap in Lincoln?
Well, with Tyson's concern, it's just a matter of staying healthy with him. Coming out, I know there were a lot of people excited about him, especially after that Shrine Bowl performance that he had, and he has two straight knee injuries. And so the question with him is whether or not he's going to be healthy to give himself a chance to compete for playing time. Riker Fife, I know they like his ability. The kid's got a cannon for an arm. He's a big, tall, athletic kid. Like I said, just with the level of competition at quarterback that they're going to have coming up the next couple of years, that's going to be a tough spot to win. You know, and obviously nobody's going to see playing time unless Taylor Martinez gets hurt next year. And then you got Tommy Armstrong, Johnny Stand. You know, you just got this, you know, core of, you know, top-level recruits coming in that you got to compete with. And so, you know, you never want to say here, but it's going to be a very difficult task for any of those guys to see playing time at quarterback over the next, you know, 4 years or so.
Well, let's talk a little basketball before we let you out of here. Nebraska with a nice win. I thought it was very it was like what Nebraska has done for years. They play good on the road. Then you kind of think maybe they can come home and beat Purdue. They lay maybe their biggest egg. Tim Miles actually, it seemed to me, was agitated for the first time in his short career here in Lincoln. Then they go out and survive some horrendous calls at the end of that Penn State game. They get a win. Siobhan Shields, all of a sudden, they can start putting his number on jerseys and selling them in the Nebraska bookstore, I think, because it looks like he's going to be okay. And UBell, they survive all this. Tonight, Illinois comes in. Here's a program that's looked like they were headed in the right direction. And then in a couple of weeks, boy, they run into a truck. So what do we expect tonight?
Well, you know, obviously Illinois was a top 10 team at one point earlier this season. And, you know, so obviously they have a significant amount of talent. But, you know, you look at their record in Big Ten play so far, I mean, they're just 1-4 themselves. So they're not doing much better than Nebraska. They're on a 3-game losing streak. You know, they're a team that really doesn't have a significant inside presence. I think their tallest guy is, you know, around, I mean, he's around 6'10 or so, but he's only, you know, 230 pounds or something like that. So no big, strong, you know, force in the middle, like Nebraska's seen in some games in Big Ten play. So I think Nebraska matches up fairly well. The key in this game is to not let Illinois get out and run. Tim Miles said that himself, that, you know, with the athletes they have and, you know, the lack of size they have, you know, they really try to get the ball out in transition as much as possible, and, you know, get things going and kind of kick up the pace of the game a little bit. And also three-point shooting. When they hit their threes, they're as good as anyone. But when they miss them, they're pretty bad. I think they're like 8-58 from three-point range in the last three games, all of which have been losses. So, you know, when they're cold from the outside and, you know, teams are able to slow them down and make them run a half-court offense, they've really struggled. So, obviously, that's going to be the key and on defense. And, of course, on offense, continuing just to find ways to put the ball in the basket. Siobhan Shields has been one of the biggest breaths of fresh air this team could possibly imagine so far, especially with his performance against Penn State. When you have a guy that, you know, can give you that kind of offensive versatility and maybe most importantly, not be afraid to drive the ball and get to the basket. That's kind of been his biggest contribution, I think, so far, just, you know, his willingness to, you know, attack the basket, get fouled, because, you know, this team doesn't have anybody that can drive and get fouled. So he's been a huge addition and a big part of the reason why Nebraska's kind of shown signs of improvements outside of that Purdue game since Big Ten play. So, yeah, it's going to be, you know, limiting the runs and limiting three-point shooting and also, you know, just finding a way to put some points on the board for Nebraska.
You know, Big Ten country, we're all kind of new to Big Ten hoops and how, you know, and I kind of grew up in Big Ten country in Indiana.
Kinda.
I grew up in Indiana. You know, Purdue is down a little bit this year. Indiana's obviously kind of trying to restore the glory. Who do you think is going to – what two or three teams do you think are going to give that tournament, that tournament of 64? Who do you think is going to give an actual run and have a chance at a national championship?
Well, I mean, Indiana's right up there. You know, they're one of the best teams in the country.
God, that's all you wanted him to say, wasn't it? That's all. You don't even have to go deep into the box for this one. Indiana's the greatest ever.
Well, you know, they've played some top competition this year, and they've showed up. So that win against Minnesota, maybe last, I thought that was one of their better wins, just because, you know, Minnesota's another team. You know, they've surprised everybody, and, you know, they're as athletic as any team in the country, so they're up there. Michigan, I think, is extremely good, and the fact that Nebraska played them the way they did, I think, is one of the biggest surprises of the season, in my opinion. You know, that was a game that probably, you know, when you look at it, should have been a 30-40 point win for Michigan, but, you know, Nebraska was able to fluster them enough to keep it close. But yeah, I think those three teams are the teams that immediately jump out at you as teams that could make a significant push. You know, going into that Michigan game, I remember talking with some of the coaches. You know, they said, they're like, man, I was like, how good is Michigan? And they just kind of looked at me. It was like, the team could win a national championship. So, wow. You know, they're that good. And, you know, obviously Indiana preseason number one, they're that good. So, I mean, and even Ohio State, that's another team. They just beat Michigan. So, you know, the depth of talent in this conference is unbelievable. You know, the Big 12 was good, but the drop-off from, you know, the top half to the bottom half of the league was pretty significant. You don't really see that in this. You know, there's just so much talent, and, you know, you can't take any game for granted. So it's definitely going to be a challenge for Nebraska to try and rebuild the program against this type of competition. But, you know, at the same time on the recruiting front, you know, that's what kids want to do. You know, it's one of their biggest selling points is, hey, we play in the Big Ten. You're going to play against some of the best teams in the country on a nightly basis, you know, be televised every single game. That's a huge selling point for kids. So it works both ways, but Big Ten's really good.
Well, Robin, we appreciate the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We just got the note here from the university that baseball starts this weekend, and of course with Damon in studio, is there any Nebraska baseball story we need to watch?
Oh, well, that would be our Dan Hoppins, our baseball guy. I honestly haven't put too much attention into it with basketball going on. But
I knew I'd throw you a curveball there.
That's right. But I know this recruiting class they signed is supposed to be pretty significant if they can get all of them on campus. So I think a lot of new faces is probably the big storyline, and hopefully they can get back to the glory days.
All right, Robin. Hey, we'll let you get back to your glory days. Enjoy the game tonight. And, folks, you can check out more at HuskerOnline.com, complete with Robin's prediction here later today. Robin, thanks. You got one more thing? Okay, Robin. Hey, thanks, man. We'll talk to you later.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Robin. Robin Wash at Husker Online.
Is Tubby Smith the coach of the year?
Well, Minnesota's got to finish, and whoever finishes in that league, my goodness, what a league.
Crean.
I'm more.
Tom Izzo? I mean.
Michigan Beeline.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm more surprised by them. I mean, yeah, I'm surprised at Minnesota just because, well, let's face it.
Yeah.
You know, the season is 15 games into it before anybody in Nebraska starts paying attention to basketball outside of Lincoln.
I mean, Tubby Smith obviously come out of nowhere and has done a phenomenal job with that Minnesota program. But there is a lot of guys when you look at Beeline and what Michigan has accomplished. Even look at Izzo graduating so much and still doing well. Crean, obviously, everybody knew they were going to be good coming back. But when you talk about college basketball, that's fun league to watch.
Good stuff, people. Good stuff here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, where they are keeping busy in this first month of 2013, and they want to save you money. Maybe that tax refund is already back in your hands. How about picking up some more deals at Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, where you can get up $2,000 off a Chevrolet Cruze. Maybe you're looking for that big truck, a Chevy Silverado, up to $7,000 off from the dealer, because as we say, it's always hassle-free. Priced, and then sometimes the big boys say, you know what, we're going to give you even more. And that's what they do for you at the Midway Auto Dealerships. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, or you can go online and check out the great deals. See the inventory at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Ryan Rathke, Northwest basketball coach, coming up after this.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
La 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 la. Scrubber, 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 boom, scrubber, boom, scrubber.
I love hot water.
If an endless supply of hot water sounds good,
can I get a what? Can I get a
whoop? Visit Rinnai.us, RINNAI.us, to see how Rinnai tankless water heaters can set you free.
So, can I get a witness? Can I get a witness?
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. Businesses from startups to Fortune 500 share a common trait. They're intentional. They focus on success and don't get distracted. They share another success trait as well. Many choose to work from a Regis office. Your beautifully furnished, wired Regis office can be ready when you need it and includes a receptionist, access to meeting rooms, and a state-of-the-art video conferencing, all with no long-term lease. None. Mention me when you call, get 2 months free. Regis, the new way to work. Call 1-800-OFFICES, 1-800.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney know health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Partly cloudy to mostly sunny skies will develop across the area today as we head up to 28 for a high. Southeast winds will stay at 5 to 15. Tonight, with a clear sky, we'll head back to 12 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 18.
Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda and UNK baseball coach Damon Day, every Tuesday. Glad to have you along on the program today. A lot of conference basketball going on, and we'll talk more about that in just a moment. Tonight, Hastings High plays Adams Central, though. Take the gloves off at Patriot Gym. Mike Will has the doubleheader starting at 6. I'll head over to Centura for a little St. Paul Centura. Get a look at a couple of teams we haven't seen much of this year. That's on Classic Hits 98.9 FM this evening, and that doubleheader is scheduled to begin at 6:15. Centura! Ah, the good old days. Ryan Rathke, the head coach at Grand Island Northwest, takes a few minutes to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. How's it going, Coach?
It's going very well, and appreciate you having me on.
Well, it's great to catch up with you again. Congratulations on the season so far.
It's been a good season. I think, when you look at our season so far, we had a lot of new faces coming into the year, and we've just had our seniors really step up in terms of taking charge and getting things done. And then we've had some juniors that did not play any varsity last year at all and have actually stepped in and played, gave us some very quality minutes.
You've got the conference tournament going on. You got a game tonight against Holdridge, who has been, it seems like, all over the place. But, boy, it seems like it's also kind of a deep conference this year. I'm not saying that anybody outside of you guys is number three in the state, but it looks like there's some pretty darn good balanced basketball. How do you see the league so far?
Well, I agree with that. You look at having a number one seed going into the tournament, you'd think you might have a little easier first-round game, but Holdridge is I think, going to be one of the toughest teams that we would face in the tournament. And as of late, Friday night, they had a great fourth quarter against Minden. They scored a lot of points. And then I thought they scored a lot of points Saturday against Cozad. And I think early in the season, Holdridge was a team that struggled a little bit on the offensive end. And now that they're getting some baskets, they're a tough team to play right now.
I'm looking over at Damon Day here, who's full of questions for you because he's new to this, okay. But I can see you got one, buddy.
Yeah, I was like, I was just going to say, have you guys played Lakeview yet this season?
We played Lakeview right after Christmas break, and
okay.
We ended up winning that game by one. It was just a real close game, back and forth, a lot of lead changes in the game, and we ended up, getting 1-point victory at the end of the day. So, but they're a good team.
And then that's why I was asking, because I do remember it was a close contest, and I was, and with as much success as you guys have had, and you get into a tournament format, how hard is it to keep your guys focused on the next game rather than kind of looking down the road to who might be there? How do you get them focused to take them one at a time when you get into a conference scenario like this?
Well, we've been preaching that. We started having some success earlier in the year, and we've been preaching that one game at a time And our kids have just done a good job getting the right state of mind going into every game. I thought maybe Saturday was the first time this year where we maybe weren't right where we needed to be going into that game. We've had a sluggish start in the first quarter at Schuyler on Saturday. I thought that was really the first time that that had happened. And that's not, you know, that those things you always as a coach want to prevent. But I thought we did a good job up to that point. I think that might have been a little bit of a wake-up call for our players going into this tournament. And I think our strength of our team is our seniors, and I think tonight our seniors will do a good job of leading. And you know, you could look at the last few years and saying, well, you know, we've got this, we've won two in a row. But we talked in practice yesterday quite a bit about just the mentality that you have to have. You got to be hungry, and I think that's my biggest thing. I tried to point out to him yesterday. You just can't think, well, this is first round, and we're going to get this one. We'll advance this next round. You've really got to get your kids hungry right away in that first round, so you don't want to get upset that first round.
We're talking to Ryan Rathke, boys basketball coach at Grand Island Northwest. They host tonight's game at 7:30. And the girls are doing great as well. And we talked to Coach earlier in the year. How great is it when both teams are doing well? Obviously, when you're at Centurion doing well, the gals were always doing well. Does it feed off each other?
I think there's that confidence that's out there. I think when you know your team's playing well and your teammates are playing well, you get confidence from each other. And I think you can look at that with the boys program and a girls program, and I think that confidence can spew over to the other program. So I think that's there. And you look at the fall season, Northwest had some great fall sport teams, and I think that's also a carryover. You just kind of get that whole atmosphere of being positive and encouraging each other, and it can snowball on you. So I think that is a factor.
Well, everybody that I talk to say Northwest are so tall and they're so balanced. Is it been just exactly what a coach would want all season long? I mean, Alex Larson is doing some great things. Kyle Bachman, I mean, we can throw out a lot of names here. And, of course, we knew about Zach Rose. I know when football season was around, they talked about how great a leader he is. It seems like you got a little bit of every piece of the pie that you need.
Well, that's probably a good way to put it. We're hard to guard because we do have inside players that can score. We've got good guard play. We've got good guys that are, like our Tech, for example, that play in a three spot and he can shoot very well. So we've got good guards. We've got the shooting that you'd like to have as a coach. And then we've got good post play. We've got four post players that all can do a good job inside. And it's just a situation where we're hard to guard, which is a good thing to have as a coach. You look at our scoring, we don't really have one. I think our leading scorer's average is 10 points a game, which is kind of unusual. You'd think you'd have your leading scorer having more than that, but that kind of gives you an idea of just the balance that we have in scoring. We've had, I think our first five games of the year, we had a different guy lead us in scoring those first five games, and that's continued throughout, you know, the season up to this point.
Take me through, because as we're looking at the schedule here, it's not like you're going in red hot. You struggled last game out going to overtime against the Schuyler team that had some problems. Hastings kept it close with you. Is there something that all of a sudden there's a chink in the armor that you've had to address going into the tournament?
Well, I think it's just extra discipline. This last weekend, you know, I was talking to our team yesterday, even as a player, you could argue to the coach, well, coach, I only had two turnovers. Well, we got nine guys out on the floor, 9 times 2, that's 18 turnovers. Or, coach, I only gave up one offensive rebound. Well, so now nine guys are giving an offensive rebound up, and that's 9 total. So we've got to have some extra discipline to prevent the little things that can add up as a team. And we've got to also just get back to our defense being very, very good. I thought earlier in the year our defense was really sound and allowed us to win some key games early in the year. For example, we played at Kearney early in the year, and we held them down that night, and that was just through great defense. I know they probably didn't have the greatest night shooting that night, part of it, I would think, to be our defense that we played. So we've got to really get to that point where we just cannot have any mistakes. One guy on defense can break you down. We need all five guys out there every possession, thinking about the concepts every second of the game and just not having a breakdown. And that's what we need to do tonight. I think we really, really have to be in a lockdown mode defensively against holders.
We were talking about with one of the other area coaches on the show yesterday, Ryan, about who in this tournament, who in this conference is a matchup problem. Is Lakeview the team that matches up best with you, or is there one of the other teams that just has the same kind of height or the same kind of senior leadership that could be scary?
Well, I thought our Lakeview game, there was matchups on both ends that were very intriguing. They had a tough time matching up with our post players. I think their starting five could do that. but their subs coming off the bench can't quite match up with us. But on the other hand, they've got a four-man that is a very good driver. He's quick, he's athletic, and our post players had a tough time matching up with him on the perimeter. So that was a chess game match in terms of matchups. If we would happen to see them again, there's some things that I think both teams will do to help those situations out. Everybody else, and there's a few teams in our conference I just haven't seen yet in terms of matchups, so I couldn't answer that, but we have seen a few of them. For the most part, a lot of teams have trouble guarding our post players. I mean, they might have one good post player that can play some defense, but you really need two. The way we run our offense, we've always got two guys that we're trying to post up constantly. So you really need to have two good post defenders.
All right, buddy. I know you got to get back to class, maybe grab some lunch, and prepare for tonight's contest with Holdridge. And great to talk with you again, Ryan. Best of luck tonight and throughout the tournament.
All right. Well, appreciate having me on, and we'll do our best tonight, all right?
All right. Sounds good. Take care. Ryan Rathke, boys basketball coach, Grand Island Northwest. They're 14-1. The only loss is to Beatrice in their Northwest Holiday Tournament. They'll get another crack at them. They play Kearney Catholic in the Heartland Hoops Classic. So there's going to be some big-time basketball still to go for Grand Island Northwest. We need to take a break here. Before we do, don't forget to vote on our poll question, which NFL coach will be the most successful. That's what we put up yesterday. 41% of you said Andy Reid with the Chiefs. 29% said Mark Testman with the Bears. And then it went downhill after that. What is your opinion of the Sacramento Kings potentially moving to Seattle? Like it, don't like it, no strong opinion. Damon? Like it, don't like it, no strong opinion.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Is Nate McMillan still playing for the Supersonics? Sean Kemp.
It's too bad that they...
Sean Kemp.
Oh, God. It's too bad that Sacramento... I mean, it didn't work in Seattle. You had a successful winning program that you moved to Oklahoma City. But whatever. I mean, I'm going to give it to the businessmen that apparently seem to know what works. We all thought Jacksonville football would be a great idea, too.
Yeah, it's not going to work. Jacksonville needs to move to L.A. I always said, in football, Jacksonville needs to move to L.A. I don't know why you'd move back to Seattle if it didn't work one time. What has changed in that area? You know, if you talk to people up there, it's not a bit, I mean, it's an outdoor, there's a million and one things to do out there type of thing. It's not, you know, Rust Belt, you know, a lot of pride, civic pride for their sporting team. So, but I don't understand why Sacramento, who can't pay their bills, is fighting so hard to keep it either. And they're talking about jobs. You don't get that many jobs from a, 41-game schedule. Home schedule there. And so, I mean, it just goes to show you that we can't solve problems, but we'll continue to make problems. California people, you read the Sacramento, their budget, their city budget, they're over by however much. Well, let's spend $77 million to keep the Kings.
This is all we got.
Yeah.
All we got is now one of the worst teams in the league. God, they were fun to watch when they kept losing to the Lakers, though. We'll take a break. Be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show, including Troutman's Tuesday Trivia when we come back.
Come on in. Let the games begin.
NFL coaches call the plays right to the quarterback's helmet, just as a great sports bar like HK Sports Bar and Grill sends you the signals right to your smartphone when you text HKVIP to 90210. Hi, this is Jeremy, the new general manager at HK Sports Bar and Grill of Hastings. We're adding more feature items and bonus alerts every week, so text HKVIP to 90210. I guarantee you'll score a deal as an HKVIP. Text HKVIP to 90210 and let the games begin.
This is a beer ad for guys who like drinking beer with their buddies and hanging out and high-fiving each other while hanging out and drinking beer. But this is a beer ad for a different type of beer. A beer brewed with a refreshing taste of apple. Red's Apple Ale. It's just the right amount of different. So this beer ad doesn't end with four dudes doing a quadruple high-five because honestly, who does that? Crisp like an apple, brewed like an ale. Red's Apple Ale. Branch out. Red's Brewing Company, Albany, Georgia. Great beer, great responsibility.
Snow and more snow.
There's 4 feet of fresh up top. You've got new boards, no fog goggles, helmet, everything you need, except how to get there. The Jeep Wrangler is the answer. With plenty of cargo space and the performance and fuel efficiency of a 3.6-liter V6, you can hit the mountain in comfort and style. So get a Jeep Wrangler and never miss another adventure in paradise. Jeep, official sponsor of X Games Aspen. Winter doesn't stand a chance.
Jeep is a registered trademark of Chrysler Group, LLC.
More exciting high school basketball action comes your way this week on our network of stations and the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. Tonight on 1230 AM KHAS, the Adams Central Patriots welcome in Hastings High. Girls at 6, the boys at 7:45. And on Classic Hits 98.9, it's a Lou Platt Conference doubleheader from Centura as the Centurions welcome in St. Paul at 6:15 and 8. Centura St. Paul on Classic Hits 98, Hastings High Adams Central on 1230 KHAS tonight.
Partly cloudy to mostly sunny skies will develop across the area today as we head up to 28 for a high. Southeast winds will stay at 5 to 15. Tonight with a clear sky, we'll head back to 12 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 18.
Doug and Daddy's show, Doug Duda, David Day with you on today's program. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia coming up, so get ready to dial those phones at 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can call now. The phone lines are open. If you've not won in the last 2 months, you are eligible for a $25 gift card with all the great food that you can get at Troutman's Quality Meats, Grill's best friend. Hey, the Grand Island Teammates Mentoring Program is sponsoring a silent auction for a jersey. It's a silent jersey auction to raise funds for their program. Family members, friends, businesses are invited to make a silent bid on a Central Catholic Crusader varsity jersey for girls and boys, and those with the highest bids get to wear them all day at the game, February 1st. You can find out more by contacting Coach Zimmerman at szimmerman@gips.org. The highest bidder will be notified on January the 30th. So that's all going on for the Teammates program over at Grand Island Central Catholic. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. If you'd like to be a part of the program today and take a guess at our trivia question, pick up $25.
Am I eligible to win that?
No, because you know the answer.
On days that I don't work, I guess that's a dumb answer. That was a dumb question on me, too, since Tuesday Trivia and I work on Tuesdays. But I was thinking, can I call in on a Friday and win tickets to the Storm game or the tractor pull or anything? Or is that for details check?
I'll tell you what, since you're technically probably not even an employee. So I mean, there you go. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
This is Dean.
Dean, hey, earlier in the show, we were talking about, I'm bragging a little bit about getting the Super Bowl, right? We're talking about what the hardest sport was to pick a national champion in or a Stanley Cup or whatever. And we thought college basketball was pretty easy. So we're going to go to college basketball today. Who is the last non-BCS conference member to win a men's Division I national championship?
I do not know, Doug.
All right. Try back. 888-455-ESPN.
Great question when you get an when the first word is that knows you got them.
Who are we chatting with?
Trent.
Do you know the last non-BCS school to win a men's Division I national championship?
The UNLV.
God, it was. We all banked on somebody saying Villanova. But
aren't they Big East?
Were they at the time? Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Well, but that's what Jeff said. He goes Villanova. He says somebody will guess Villanova.
You'll have to look up what besides UNLV.
Damn.
Who was the last non-BCS?
Yeah, dang. Here's your bonus question for the day. We've talked with Robin Washington about Indiana having a shot at winning a national championship. The last time they won a national basketball title was 87. Who'd they beat in the finals? No, he didn't. See, there you go. That's okay. It was Syracuse. It was Ronnie Cicely and the boys, Keith Smart, hitting it in the corner. You didn't have to know that. You already got the $25 gift card to Troutman's for knowing UNLV. Hang on the line, and Jeff will get your info. Hey, thanks for calling, and congrats.
Thanks.
We have got plenty going on. You weren't sure.
Who was the last? Who was it besides UNLV? How far do you got to go back to?
Oh, I think we just scanned all the way back to Texas Western in 1966. Marquette.
Okay.
Because Marquette wouldn't have been a BCS,
East, yeah,
right?
At the time.
So I'm going to go in Louisville, yep. 1980.
I mean, I guess now they were, but back
1986.
Then. 1986. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and double check what year they were, but yeah, probably Marquette.
That's an amazing
Texas
stat.
Western.
I mean, you think of Butler, you think of VCU, you think of George Mason, you think of all these people that kind of David Goliaths.
We're close, yeah. I mean, you got some teams that you would have never expected to get to the finals, your Utahs, your maybe even a Georgia Tech. But, I mean, your national champions for the last 10 years, Kentucky, Connecticut, Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, Florida, North Carolina, Connecticut, Syracuse, Maryland, Duke. I mean, that takes you all the way back to 2001. If you can't win your basketball pools, you ain't filling out enough of them. So there you go. I think we hit the basketball, a little wrestling going on tonight, the updated rankings. Grand Island and Amherst are one in A&D. Those are the new ones out there as well. So I think we've hit it all. Anything else, buddy?
My only question to you is, what's Creighton going to do? You're closer to it. Are they going to join the Catholic Conference, or are they getting left out?
Well, they're not going to get left out. My gut is if they get asked, I think it's their call. I think that's somebody that you want because that's perfect. You don't have to worry about any of the other sports when you're going to get Creighton for your basketball conference. And I think that would be very tough for Creighton to compete in that league with those teams. But we'll see. Hell, you guys know all about it. You stepped up to the MIAA. That's what it would be like. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You're gonna. It's more than just getting to play basketball with the big boys. It's funding. Yeah. It's taking that next step.
I wonder how it would do for soccer. I mean, soccer obviously isn't the notoriety that basketball is, but obviously soccer. Creighton's always there nationally getting it done, and I'm sure baseball wise they don't want to make this move. You know, because it'll be in all sports, correct? Or will it just be basketball?
I'm not that deep into it.
Okay.
I don't know that details on it. But, I mean, Creighton also, you got to think, you know what? It's pretty safe where you're at. I mean, Mark Few's making it work at Gonzaga. Brad Stevens making it work at Butler. I mean, who was Duke before Mike Krzyzewski got there?
Yep.
Now I know. Now they got all kinds of money. But there's nothing to say that Creighton can't get it. And, by the way, as we get on out of here today, how about Dana Altman in Oregon? I mean, he went to Oregon, and they're in the top 20 right now. What, two losses, three losses on the year? Here's a team that's making some noise in the Pac-12. So, good job to Dana Altman and Oregon Quacks.
Ugliest basketball court in the nation.
Yeah.
It hurts your eyes to watch.
They got to do something about that. That's not good. And I don't think it's an advantage or disadvantage because the other team's not.
I just think it looks horrible on TV.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to look at. Hey, folks, tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, our Loper Link, we'll talk more about the newest wrestling team coming into the conference as an associate member of Newman University. We'll also talk with Tri-City Storm coach Josh Howgie. They've got their next three games at home, plus the USHL Prospects All-Star Game is tomorrow. He'll talk about the Storm members that will be competing in that. We want to thank Ryan Rathke, boys basketball coach at third-ranked Grand Island Northwest, and Robin Walsh of Husker Online for joining us today. Damon Day, thanks for the update on the baseball banquet.
Thank you, buddy.
We'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.